Coming up on today's show, it is our 300th episode. This is Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host for this week. My name is John, and as I mentioned, it's episode number 300. I am joined by my esteemed colleagues. First, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And Jason.
Hello, and welcome to 300 episodes. How many episodes have I been here for, though? I haven't been here for all 300.
Good question. Let's see.
At least 100 of them, probably.
You think 100?
You want me to find out? I'll get back to you later in the show with that
information. Okay. See, I figured when we went to once a week, I mean, that means we only started doing 52 in a year, right?
Roughly. So,
well, and we've missed a few weeks in the COVID era.
Yeah.
Well, Jason missed a few weeks, but John and I did several in a row without Jason in 2020.
Yeah. So I haven't been here for all of them. But I'm happy to be here for 300.
Is this our tricentennial? Is that what we'd call it?
Sure. Tricentennial.
Because we try every week to be entertaining.
We do. We try very hard.
Yeah. So if you are enjoying what you hear from us, I mean, it would be good for you to go and give us a review on whatever method you use to listen to us.
Spotify, iTunes, Google.
I think iTunes is probably the most common one where you can do that. People look at reviews. So
I think we're on Stitcher. We're on a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much wherever you can get Find a podcast, right? Yeah.
And if we're not, let us know and I'll make sure we are.
Right.
How would somebody be listening to this if we're not on their podcast?
I don't know. Details.
Also, man. The thing is if you're not using one of the ones we just listed, what other podcast network is there? And what's so great about it? Please let me know, because I want to know why
there's no podcast right now.
So I have the answer to that trivia question. Jason's first episode was episode 192.
Oh.
And it was March 4th, 2019.
So he's been here over 100 episodes. Just barely.
Although, it's probably been 100 episodes at least. So.
Well, I'm going to say I wasn't factoring in. He's been available for 108, apparently, right? So,
yeah.
But he did miss a few. So it's probably, you were probably right with 100. I mean, I'd say you probably missed an average of eight. Yeah. Good guess.
So those of you who may want to know, it's episode 192. March 4th, 2019, the title of the episode is The Strategy for Riding Every Ride in One Day. And the description says, today on the show, we welcome our first guest, Mr. Jason.
That would be a funny episode to go back and listen to, because our strategy in that episode is horrendous.
I'm sure it changed just a little bit over time.
That would be a fun one to go back to. Maybe... And a month from now, we'll revisit that. I'll put together some clips to make fun of.
If you want to see just how well this show has evolved or devolved, you know, depending on your opinion, go back to the beginning, actually, and start listening to those.
Right. Well, you know what else is funny about this episode? I remember talking about it now was our post-run celebration or Drowning Our Sorrows we said was going to be at Trader Sam's, which if anyone's done a run, you know that the only thing you can do was like Casey's and you just want to collapse. That's all you want to do. You don't want to go celebrate and have drinks after.
Yeah. There was one time we were done and I remember that Kent was like, you guys want to go off property and get a drink? And I'm like, I'm just having a hot dog at Casey's.
Yeah. And like 3 bottles of water. And then I'm going to go to sleep. But at least like 4 Advil probably.
I don't know. The alcohol might have numbed you.
That's the problem with ending at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the time I completed, I finished at Epcot, and I was able to see Kendall and Matt and Kristen, and I was able to get a margarita there before I left, because there's still time left on the clock, so it was still open.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kent and Kendall, our thoughts and prayers are with them right now because they did lose a family member. I don't want to go too much into it without their permission, so to speak, but we're just thinking about them. So.
Yeah, our condolences for sure are with them and thoughts.
Yeah, it's really hard to lose a family member, and I know we mostly all know each other virtually through this crazy thing we talk about with Disney and challenges, but it does feel like a family, and it's really heartbreaking to see, and so we're really praying for both of them.
Yeah.
If you're listening, just let us know how we can help, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're having a bit of a contest, and Adam, why don't you explain what you put out there on the...
On the interwebs?
Yeah, on the page.
So we have a website that is called travelingwiththemouse.com. If you go to travelingwiththemouse.com/giveaway, we have a form that you can enter, which is just to get your information so that we can send you a shirt design of your choice of either the, you know, we have two designs right now and your size, of course, so we can send you the correct size, but we're going to send a lucky person some Traveling with the Mouse swag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we decided we're going to open the contest up for over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Then at the end of that, we'll see what we've got and draw and send it on to that person. We'll announce it on, I guess, 2 weeks from now, that episode. It might even be the 3 weeks from now episode if we have to wait and, you know, for 2 weeks for the contest. So,
yeah.
We'll keep you updated.
And FYI, we won't sell any of your information. We just use it to ship your item, and that's it.
Right. If you care about getting the merchandise at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't worry about any of that.
That's all it's for.
Did you get the box to check if they have a Club 33 membership? Because
I can add that. I can definitely add that.
So we can know if they...
And add another box under that. If yes, can we join you for dinner one night?
Right. We are only going to deliver this shirt in person in the Club 33 lounge.
Right. And since we can't currently get in there, we need somebody who's already a member to let us in. So, thank you.
Yeah, that should work right there. So, who's really getting the prize in that case?
I don't know. John Stamos, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure he's Club 33, right? He's got to be.
Right. And I'll take a moment. The merchandise that we're giving away, you can also, if you want to, find it for purchase, shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. Yeah. So you can go there.
Really, you should just purchase your own and then give the other one to a friend if you win.
If you win.
I mean, you can't have too many.
Of course.
Traveling.
Right. And since there's two designs, you buy one design and then you get the other one.
Well, do you have so many colors, too? So if you're on a week-long trip to Disney World, you're going to need at least 7 Traveling with the Mouse shirts.
I guess I should put color design, too. I didn't think about that. I'll have to add that to the form. All right. I got some homework.
Okay. Well, so far on the show, we've learned that Adam has work to do. Okay.
Yeah, always.
Why don't we get into a little bit of this news?
Let's do
that. How about Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover refurbishment extended through February at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah.
Even though they've seen them moving, apparently. Not with people moving.
Also crashing into one another.
Yeah, that's been seen too. Yeah. I didn't really think that was a hard hit, though. I mean, it kind of looked like it, but it didn't sound like it. That's the thing. I would expect that to sound louder if they really hit hard. What do you guys think?
Maybe they were testing out new bumpers on them.
Yeah. I mean, they've been testing it a good bit in the last couple of months.
I know in the past there have been lawsuits about them crashing into each other, though, and guests complaining about whiplash or whatever it was, injuries sustained while the cars crashed into one another.
Right.
So maybe they're testing a way to soften that impact, or they extended the refurbishment because they're continuing to crash into each other without fixing the issue.
Have you ridden the People Mover at Walt Disney World lately? Better call Saul. Oh,
no. Yeah. I haven't seen the cone, though. I'm getting worried. Are we not going to see the cone anymore?
Maybe the cone's actually on the track, and that's
that's what happened.
Because after the accident.
It ran over the cone and got stuck.
Yes.
Was anybody surprised, though, that this was extended yet again? I'm not surprised.
Nah. That's just the way it works nowadays. So.
Boo.
Boo. Speaking of tracks, you know, because the People Mover has a track. There's a piece of track that's missing from Primeval World you know, along with the cars. They've been missing for a little while now, but there's just one like small piece apparently that's missing.
Why only take one piece? Take the whole thing down. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the deal here?
Maybe they're auctioning it off one piece at a time.
But still, it's just odd for an attraction. I mean, it's pretty obvious this one's not coming back, right? They've already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. It's done.
So why wouldn't they have removed more of it by now? I mean, well, it just doesn't make any sense.
They don't have enough maintenance workers to handle these projects.
Maybe that's what it is. They're actually removing it one piece at a time.
Yeah, one piece a week. So
if they do it slow enough, you just won't even realize it's going anywhere. And then one day you'll walk in and be like, didn't there used to be a
right.
a coaster there?
Yep.
Well, you know, this one close-up of the base of where that track was is very comforting, the way it looks with all the washers everywhere and everything. But I guess that's because they've already taken it off.
Yeah. I just want to walk over to that part of the park and find a cast member and point at that missing track and go, well, there's your problem right there.
Right. That's why people got hurt on this ride.
Yeah.
Maybe Joe Rohde asked for a piece of track when he retired.
Yeah, it's maybe that's on it. His wall, probably. Yeah, that's what it is. It
could have been.
His crowning achievement.
So we're flying through these stories, guys. This is going to be a record time.
Flying?
Flying?
Yeah, we're going to fly. Walt Disney World guest vaccinated for COVID-19 must still wear a mask. I don't know. I know that's a shock.
Jason's wife still wore a mask, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's fully vaccinated.
I mean, there's a couple of things. Number one, it seems unlikely that, like, from the science of it, that you could spread it after you've been vaccinated, but it's not proven. The recommendation right now is to continue to wear a mask even after vaccinated, because we're going to be really protected once a lot of people are vaccinated, and then we'll get to take all the masks off. Number two, right. It would be such a hassle to validate this.
Yes.
Right? Like, there's no way, because people just be like, yeah, I'm vaccinated. And, like, what are you going to do? Like, just ask for the vaccine card? But the vaccine card's not a photo ID, so, like, a vaccine card and a photo ID?
Right.
I mean, it's just, like, there's no way to verify or validate this. And people would take advantage if you tried to do something where this wasn't recorded.
But even if you were fully vaccinated walking around the park, every cast member would be like, where's your mask? Put a mask on her. All the guests would be reporting you, and you would have to explain it every 5 seconds. I'm vaccinated.
They have a system in place already, and it seems to be effective. So why change that until things are back to normal?
Yeah,
I guess is the main thing.
Unless they just hand you a giant badge that you have to wear all day that says, I'm vaccinated, you know, just wear a mask like everybody else. It's fine. You've done it for a year.
You could use the I'm celebrating pins. It's like, I'm celebrating. I'm vaccinated.
Second shot.
They could just use those. Yeah.
I get it.
And here we are, maybe later in the year, we're thinking sometime in the fall, perhaps there's going to be enough of a combination of people who are vaccinated and who have had it by that point that then maybe the restrictions will be relaxed.
Yeah.
So a combination of the two. That's the hope.
I'm not throwing away my Christmas-themed masks yet, put it that way.
Well, I wouldn't say throw them away anyway. But
yeah, well, I'm just saying.
See, eventually it'll be just the opposite. Like you'll go there with a mask on and they'll be like, pull that mask down. I need to see who you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. It says, face coverings are required for all guests to and up, as it has always been. Please bring your own face covering, wear them at all times, except when dining or swimming. So,
yeah.
And of course, Blizzard Beach, you know, has some opening dates now in March. And they did release what the criteria was going to be for the mask wearing there. If you were actively in the water or in the, you know, doing any of the slides or anything, that of course the mask was not required. But if you were in any of the other areas, the mask would be required. That makes sense.
I won't be visiting anytime soon. I'll put it that way. But
I saw some people, like say in the pool areas, for instance, that did wear masks even in the pool area, but it was not required at all. Even if you weren't actively in the water. I mean, if you were just sitting over there, they didn't enforce it. So, except for the cast members, of course, were wearing them. But they never said anything about anyone, whether they're in the water or not. If you were in the pool area, you were pretty much...
Oh, yeah. When I've been there, if you're hanging out at the pool, you don't have to wear a mask. If you leave to go get something at the pool bar, you wear a mask.
Just about every resort's pool area is like Fort Knox now. I mean, as far as being gated and making sure that resort guests are the only ones using it in most cases.
They scanned magic bands at the yacht club when I stayed there, but they did not scan magic bands at Coronado Springs in January. I guess figured, like, who's going to take the effort to drive into Coronado Springs?
Just to go to the pool, yeah.
It's not among the most popular pools either. So.
Right. But life hack right there, if you really want to go to a pool in January at Disney World and you're not staying there, they didn't check magic bands at Coronado Springs, so go enjoy.
The only ones I really know they do are usually deluxe, and those are usually the more popular pools, too.
Right.
But
typically.
I bet they aren't scanning at Pop Century or Art of Animation either.
Yeah. Although they weren't doing it at Caribbean Beach, so.
Yeah, I think the only place I've ever been scanned is Stormalong Bay, so.
Yeah. That's the only time I've ever been checked, yeah. All right.
300 episodes. We got to do 300 news stories for episode 300. So.
Everything has to be 300. So.
Right. We've been through three, so 297 to go.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be disappointed because there's not that many news stories. Not that I'm going to cover anyway. This is my turn. I'm the host.
We could pretend to be Bob Chapek and name 300 pieces of IP we want to put in the park.
Oof. Ugh. He's probably got well over that.
I think they're bringing out 300 new TV series on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So let's move along. There's some Polynesian news to cover. Mm-hmm. The monorail platform is completely gone.
No mas.
Now. It is demolished. Looks weird, obviously.
Especially when there's just a door like two stories up that doesn't go anywhere, you know.
Right, yeah. Hopefully they have it well sealed off.
What do you think they're going to build? Do you think there's going to be like a giant hey-hey and you just go straight into his mouth?
Oh, gosh.
Or is it going to be a big Maui?
Taka.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they dug up the fountains and stuff in the front too, the ponds. So it's all going to be completely different now.
What is it going to be like to be a DVC person staying at Poly right now? I mean, it's like a shell of a resort.
That's probably why there's so many Polynesians available. If you look at those dedicated reservations, there's a lot of Polynesian.
Well, I mean, they actually still do have some rooms that they're selling cash, because I've seen it show up.
I saw a discounted room, too, available, but it was still like $500 a night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not coming off enough to entice anybody.
$500 a night for a place with no monorail.
Yep.
Basically no lobby.
Only like one restaurant. Or two, maybe, places to eat. There's no Ohana right now.
Well, they know if they come off of it, the price too much, there's no turning back, right? So, I don't know.
I guess, but I mean, given the circumstances, I think people would understand if you... I don't know. Kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, when Jason said no lobby, I mean, apparently when they were doing some of the construction there, the construction crew broke a water main and closed...
Kona.
Basically, Kona, everything on the top floor, the public restrooms were closed, the pools were open, Pineapple and I was open, but there was a lot of stuff closed. I imagine they probably got a fair share of complaints. Matter of fact, they put like crime tape over the bathroom door. Like, I mean, I wonder if somebody walked by there and thought something happened other than just a water main breaking.
Right.
And it says heavy equipment striking the water main is likely to blame in this story at the time. I don't think we ever got a confirmation follow-up either.
Yeah.
So that's the best we have to go on at the moment is that it was construction crew. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So I just hope that when all this is said and done, the Poly still looks
enough good. Like it used to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's gone over a lot of changes, obviously, in 40 years. almost 50 years.
Yeah, I also was thinking about, too, I wonder what they did when they dismantled the monorail station. Were there people that tried to snag a piece of it somehow? Because it would be cool to have a piece of it.
That's true. Yeah, they might have gotten even a small piece.
Spent a lot of time on that monorail station.
Because speaking of pieces of the Poly, back when they used to have rocks out there, still have a rock from the Poly.
I still have a smooth stone somewhere. I know I have some.
Somewhere. Moving along, Disneyland Resort pass holders. now known as Legacy Passholders. Discounts will continue, other perks to be announced. So what do we think about this one?
I wonder, does it mean Legacy, are they going to get first dibs on whatever the new membership is going to be when the restrictions are died down?
Maybe.
Since they're marked as Legacy.
Well, I mean, let's just, from this article, it says, the Disneyland Resort has just announced that those guests who held a valid annual passport, when the parks closed, yes, the very same ones that are being canceled and refunded, will be known as Legacy Passholders. 30% merchandise discounts previously announced are still in place, though, through February the 25th. What seems to be new with this announcement after this date is that the standard AP discounts on food and merchandise will continue to be available at Downtown Disney and Buena Vista locations. It's unknown what additional perks will be announced for these Legacy Pass holders or when they will be available. What do we think they're going to do as far as this goes? Do you think it's going to be just more restrictive when it's all said and done?
I think what we talked about last time, it's going to be like the Flex Pass. There will be some days where you have to make a reservation. And there will be some tiers where you'll have blackout days. And there will be some tiers where there are days where you can go just like a regular old pass holder. I think this will be to control demand and capacity during when they, if they open before, you know, everything's completely open. And it'll also help them control demand post-COVID at Disneyland on the busier days.
Right. Because they kind of saw that as a problem anyway. And we're looking at doing something.
Right. And if that works, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them at Disney World to have a system where the week of Christmas, the week of Easter, you have to make a park reservation.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're prepping as well for what many people are expecting, which is a huge pent-up demand for travel once things are in a better place and less restrictions are in place as well, especially Disneyland. There's got to be a huge amount of pent-up demand for Disneyland because it hasn't been open for so long, and there's so many people that live within walking distance almost of it or very short drive of it, so it's the demand is going to be through the roof. So I think even Disney World is going to see, for another reason, its 50th anniversary is a big reason for once things are back to normal. It's just next year, I think, is going to be just capacity almost every day. It's going to be that much demand, I think. Wouldn't you think?
I think so. I think people, yeah, it's going to be
It's going to be insane. Packed. Yeah, to all the time. With. Like,
yeah,
for the whole year.
I there would you think. Go.
So, yeah. That's another reason why they have to be careful for a while, because the demand is going to be there.
Makes sense. All right, so this is going to bring us down to probably our most intriguing, exciting news story, I guess, of this past week, is the announcement. Many predicted this was coming.
Including us.
Yeah. Disney to update Jungle Cruise at Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort with new story, cultural sensitivity changes, and apparently it's going to have nothing to do with the new characters, which that was part of what we were shocked about, I think, because we all had kind of joked around with The Rock being, you know, involved somehow, but apparently they're not going to do that, or at least that's what they've claimed at this point.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if Jungle Cruise, the movie, becomes a huge hit, then obviously they'll rethink that, probably.
I think they said they might put some Easter eggs in there. But they're going to try to make it more of a story, right?
The concept art and the scenes that they have revealed that they're going to happen. You know, the chimpanzees on the sunken boat, which I think is going to give a whole lot more opportunity for jokes. New jokes, new material. And then they mentioned, you know, the scene with the totem pole and the, I think they made the characters on there more diverse.
Yeah, the explorers.
Like, the explorers, there you go. But they're probably going to add something there to make additional jokes rather than the same ones they used to have. So I see these as kind of win-win. It's not that I thought the jokes were getting stale, because each skipper kind of had their own take on the script, if you want to call it that. They would go off script quite a bit, actually, recently. So I think adding new elements or different elements, even if they're to be a little bit more culturally sensitive. I think the jokes are going to be different and new, and it's going to make it a more exciting attraction anyway. So I'm excited about any changes they're going to make.
See, it's funny when you mention that about going off script, because it doesn't seem like it was that long ago that if you they gave them a little bit of freedom, but if you drifted too far off script long ago, that would have been grounds to get you fired like 20 years ago even.
Right. It's only been recently, hasn't it? Yeah. Recently, I've enjoyed it. It's sort of been refreshing to me. But yeah. I think this is just going to breathe new life into sort of attraction.
It probably will. I mean, it's because everybody, when something changes, I mean, they want to see what the changes are anyway. And trying to be a little more culturally sensitive in the attraction.
Right. About the sinking boat, do you think they'll have some jokes about the actual boat sinking
right last year? Yeah.
I'm sure a few might poke some references at it maybe.
So what they did is they just never repaired that boat, and they're actually going to go sink it again.
Right.
Put the chimpanzees on it.
Yeah.
My take is that I'm excited that they're changing it, and it's not going to be the Rock. I mean, that's the real summary of it, is I mean, it's time that they reimagine. It's time that they rethink. But the fact that it's non-IP makes me happier.
That's a good, it's interesting. This is Chapek era, and as of right now, anyway, they're not adding IP to it. I mean, are they going to throw in like Baloo and Bagheera or something, or like, are they going to try and throw in, or is that too old IP?
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Trying to think they'll of just, what IP.
I mean, the only IP he's going to do is he's going to put little Disney Plus stickers over everything. So subscribe.
I think he's probably trying to shed that image of him, I guess, as far as being nothing but IP. But I mean, he's definitely been very successful at getting it attached to him. So
he's also has the reputation of cost cutting to the, you know, 100th degree, right, or whatever.
Well, he was placed in a tough spot when he first took this over, so I'm not going to go too hard on him for that part. But
he was also head of Parks and Resorts during a time where you saw a lot of cutbacks.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Especially entertainment cutbacks. But anyway.
Who needs entertainment? It's not like the parks are about entertainment.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be.
You mean there's no entertainment challenge? Where you do all the shows?
I think Fire Sheets did something where he did everything in Magic Kingdom one day. So including the shows. So I guess that's the closest.
Let me go back to Jungle Cruise for a second and that statement they put out about it.
Kevin, I was gonna say, we don't have time for you to go all the way to Florida right now.
Sure, let's go back. Remember that? So they say as part of the story update, we'll get to follow Skipper and his passengers as their journey goes awry. And it says, that's right, for the first time ever, the Skipper role will not only be that of a live, experienced, and witty guide, but also represented by a show figure within the attraction itself.
Hmm.
What do we think they mean by that? An animatronic?
Does the Skipper jump out of the boat at some point?
Yeah, I'm like, or is this like a great movie ride kind of thing where another evil Skipper takes over the boat or something for a part of the ride? I'm confused.
Hmm. A villain Skipper meets you halfway?
Right. And then towards the end, he tries to steal something and gets turned into a disturb the treasure of the gods.
All pay with your lives. Yes. You know, when I got to thinking about that, you know, in Great Movie Ride, you get the guide gets changed in like the third scene. The third and fourth scenes, pretty much. It's pretty early on.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm trying to think. I mean, I know there's characters in the Jungle Cruise already, but I've never really paid that much attention to who they are, mostly, except for Trader Sam. Maybe it's Trader Sam they're talking about. I don't know. Is Trader Sam going to be your guide? I can't think of any other characters in there that would be named.
So it goes on to say that, in fact, the expedition will be up a tree, literally, which I assume they're talking about the...
So our boat's going to climb a tree. It said literally.
Right. Well, it does say literally. After their sunken boat splits apart and chimps board the wreckage with monkey business ensuing.
So they're actually going to incorporate this boat sinking into the attraction now.
Yeah, I'm like, so is this another boat, or is your boat supposed to be the one that's sinking? I'm really confused.
So, like, during the ride, the boat's going to sink, and we have to get out and climb a tree.
Yes. Okay. And it'll be taken over by chimpanzees.
Ah.
That's going to be hard to pull off every, like, 8 minutes.
Yeah. Something's going on there. Interesting. We'll definitely be following this story to see how it develops. Well, speaking of attractions that are changing, given that we've got this announcement, what do you think the odds are that, say, Splash Mountain will close before the year is out?
I would have said 100% if you asked me 6 months ago, probably. I think because of all these cutbacks, it's going to be a while.
Well, they still were thinking, before it's completed anyway, somewhere along the lines of 2023. Now, depending on how much they have to change, it may not take that long. So even if they thought 2023, I mean, the attraction that's going right now could still be used into the 50th for sure. So
I feel like they're going to make sure they get, like, Tron open before they shut down another major ride. They need to get Tron open, I think.
Right. Well, Magic Kingdom doesn't have really anything else down except for, Transit Authority, right? I mean, the railroad, but it's been down for a while.
Well, I think the riverboat hasn't opened back up yet. But
the riverboat.
They've refilled the river, but I don't think it's open yet.
Yeah.
But I just think Splash, especially in this warmer weather, is always one of the major mountains to do. So I think they need Tron open in order to break even.
Yeah, it's like trading an e-ticket.
Yeah, right. Trade e-tickets so that they have time to, because it's going to be a lengthy refurb to get this changed from what it looks like.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be as long as some would think. I think they could probably do it in like a year, truthfully.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even less. But yeah, it's still a long time to be down. So.
Yeah, and they projected probably 2023 that I've heard. Yeah. Before it's actually open again. So, I mean, that's, to me, suggests that it could potentially be open all of this year.
Yeah, I think so.
So, moving along, with this being our 300th episode, we actually did have a request, said would enjoy hearing your first Disney experiences and what hooked you on Disney.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we can cover that for a little bit, especially being episode 300. Yeah. We may have covered it before a little bit, like maybe in our early days, but it wouldn't hurt to revisit it. I mean, we don't have Jason's story of what hooked him, but I think we kind of know what hooked Jason.
Well,
riding every ride.
Correct.
Well, okay, go ahead, Jason. You share. What exactly do you think it is that hooked you on Disney?
So we'll start with the earliest memories, I guess, first. I do remember going down as a kid, riding in my grandfather's van for whatever reason. He had a giant van that he was driving down. The whole family was going, but I rode in my grandfather's van because it was a big van with like a lay down seat in the back. Anyways, my grandfather, he went to Disneyland either the year it opened or within a year or two of it opening. He went to Disney World the year it opened. He's very proud of that. I just remember pulling onto property. It would have been very early 90s, probably. Might have been my first visit that I can remember. I know I think I went one time in the late 80s, but I don't remember that. So early 90s. And there was like a bush or something on the side of the road that wasn't perfectly trimmed. And he said something to the effect of, everything's just really gone downhill ever since Walt died, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I remember that. That's one of my first memories of Disney World. I also remember my aunt getting picked to be Lucy in the chocolate scene, MGM Studios. So she did get picked.
Oh, yeah,
for that.
Superstar television.
Yeah, she got picked. But anyways, that's my earliest. But I didn't get really hooked then, right? I didn't go a lot after that. What got me hooked was when I went in, I want to say it was 2016 or 2017. I guess it was 2016. Around Christmas, we were visiting friends in Orlando, and I just went for a day, took our son, my wife and I went, and we only went to Magic Kingdom that day, but we really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun. I figured out the Fast Pass system pretty quickly, so we rode a whole lot of stuff, And so I said, okay, let's come back. And then we did that trip in October of 2018, I think. Adam, you were there for some of it. My parents, I stayed at the Kidani Village. That's when I got a bit hooked, because then we started showing up with you on, like, you'd be at our house one weekend and be like, why don't you come with us next weekend? We're already going. And then I'd be booking a place. So, So I think that's what got me. But the thing that really hooked me is that bus ride back from Animal Kingdom, when I said, has anybody ever tried to ride everything in one day? And that's what did me in.
Oh, yeah.
It was the question.
I think we even mentioned that on that episode that I, 192 that I referred
to. Yeah, that bus ride, you know, changed a lot about our Disney experience. Number one, we don't ride the bus anymore.
Yeah, I would say that may have been the last time I've been on a bus now. One of the last times.
I don't take them very often, let's put it that way. I did take it once this last time.
Yeah. I used to be the big proponent of using Disney's transportation always, but...
Well, I mean, if you remember, that's what you didn't like about Coronado originally. And I'm like, well, I just drove. And you're like, drive?
Like, well, when I first... Right, I think it was 2014 I stayed at Coronado. And I was in the back... section, the very back, so the furthest, and that's like a mile from the front, so I did not enjoy driving that much. But
if you drive yourself, Coronado is actually really easy to get around property from.
It is, yeah, and again, now I'm totally about that, but again, Grand Destino is, you just pull right in, it's like right there, right in the entrance, so you don't have to like drive around the whole perimeter of the resort, which is very large. But
yeah, well, even still. Let's just say if you're driving yourself, you're in the back, I mean, you can park usually somewhere close to your room, so you're not that far from your vehicle. You can just get in the vehicle and go to wherever you want to go.
Yeah, and I'm totally like on board with that now.
Yeah,
that was me. So who's next?
That's where Jason's love came from.
Right. For Disney. I was gonna say, don't get me started on the family bathrooms, but.
We're going to do 300 bathrooms in Walt Disney World. Ready? Let's go.
Yeah. The companion bathroom at Galaxy's Edge. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are still mad I didn't go tour the bathroom near Ratatouille, so.
Yes. Was there a companion bathroom over there? I need to know.
I don't know. I didn't look.
I think Adam is his goal is to like use every companion bathroom on property at some point.
Yeah. Those are fantastic. If you have kids, it's the best. Because everybody you can...
just goes
everybody
at once.
Just pile into and just let them go. Yeah. You don't have to try and keep track of them. And are you going here? Are you going there? You just stick them in there, let them do what they got to do.
Yeah. They have one. That's the one we used that I can remember now from our last trip. I didn't mention it. Was the one at the Regal Eagle, which you have to walk like a mile from outside the exit to go to the restroom there. But
yeah,
there was a companion one there. That's how that one was set up. So.
I like the newer ones, obviously, because they're nicer. But the one at Toy Story Land is good. The one at Galaxy's Edge is good, over by the Droid Depot area. The new one at Epcot by the Starbucks, where they put the Starbucks at near Canada, that's a really good companion bathroom.
Anyway. So I think what we've established here is that Adam's... love for Disney is now companion restrooms. That's where that's what it's surrounds.
You know what restroom I did use when I was there after you left, Adam? Was the one at the Skyliner station by Epcot. That's a very low used bathroom.
That's what I was going to say. I have used that one as well. I've used the one at Caribbean Beach.
And it's kind of like a companion bathroom because it's an individual bathroom. You can take the whole family.
Yeah.
So is that what got you into Disney? Was the bathroom?
That's what I'm beginning to wonder. We can go back. Why don't we start with your earliest memories, Adam?
Well, I have what I would call enhanced memories because we have videotape of my first trip.
You have some that you probably wouldn't have remembered had it not been for the video.
Right. And I don't remember personally anything from my first trip because I was like a year old. It was 1987. But I remember the video, like I could quote stuff from the video, which John and I probably do from time to time on these, on our episodes.
We might have done that, yeah.
But But I do remember my second trip, which was 89, when we went to MGM Studios when it opened, or shortly after it opened. I remember parts of the backlot tour that I don't think were on tape, like seeing Herbie. I remember definitely seeing the Herbie. And yeah. Catastrophe Canyon is something that's pretty memorable. I do remember that. And so there's, and I remember eating a Mickey ice cream at Echo Lake. I vividly remember that, which is weird that it, I don't, that might be on tape too, but it I do is. Remember actually eating it because I made a huge mess and I remember that. Yeah. So there's parts of that one I remember. Of course, looking back on that, I have a very fond attachment to Hollywood Studios, even though it's very different from what it used to be when I was a kid, but that park in particular is one that I have a, I don't know if what you want to call it, the warm fuzzy feeling every time I walk into Hollywood Studios, especially the main area that hasn't changed much. It's just sort of a relaxing feeling walking in there. So I have an attachment to that park especially, but of course to Epcot and Magic Kingdom as well. One vivid memory I have from, I think it was 1992, was we rode the trolley and the horse peed when it got to the castle. The horse peed on the street.
And that was fascinating.
I was trying to get my dad to record it, and I think he got like a half a second of it on video.
Sounds about right.
Well, our whole vacation videos were half a second. He would film, you know, a week-long trip in a 90-second video. But
not quite that severe. I mean, because I have some of these clips out on YouTube, remember, so.
Right. That's true.
Not that particular clip.
Right. But, of course, the Polynesian, that's the only resort I stayed at until I was, like, a teenager, I think. Like, well, except for that one time at Caribbean Beach we stayed for a couple of days. But Polynesian was pretty much it. And so I'm very attached, of course, to the Polynesian and the Electric Water Pageant. Yeah, that whole resort area I have a attachment to. Grand Floridian, we would always walk over there when once it was open. We would always ride the monorail and get off at all the resorts, look around and browse. Yeah, been fortunate enough to stay at all of the Magic Kingdom resorts, so it's that whole area is very special. But I what was the thing again? The first memory? I think it was how it would be MGM Studios, probably my first memory.
Hmm,
and what got me hooked is just the property itself. I just love being there. So,
because you were 3 years old?
Yeah, I was three.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a little over three, maybe. Yeah. No. A little over three.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's funny. I don't have the luxury of video from my earliest trips, obviously. Yeah. My technical first trip was about -6 months. So I definitely have no memory of that one, but I was there. That's all I know. So I was there in 1978, the year I was born.
Now, did you go in 1985 by chance?
Yes, that was the contemporary stay.
So I have this theory that I was conceived
at the contemporary?
No. The midi-chlorians of Disney conceived me.
You think
in 1985.
So you are Walt's frozen head?
I could be. I have this. Now, it could literally have happened. I don't want to go there, but it could have happened. But it could also have been, you know, immaculate midi-chlorian.
All I can say is, given the living quarters that we had, as far as the rooms and everything, I think that's highly unlikely. Just saying.
So it was the midi-chlorians is what you're saying.
I do remember your brother Daniel running around naked as a, what would he have been, a two-year-old at that point.
So that was in 85 you stayed at the contemporary?
Yes. Okay. That was a contemporary stay. Right. I do have memories. That's like the earliest one. I mean, I remembered going prior to that one and obviously staying at the Poly, but that's the first one I had more vivid memories of because I was six. And I remember things like your dad, leaning over the balcony and taking a picture up, like if the room's up, which you probably know would sound something totally like what he would do. When I think back at it now, when I look at how the contemporaries laid out, I'm like, leaning over this balcony a little bit, it's really not that big of a deal, because at worst, you would fall down to the next level the way they have it done. But anyway.
Was that a Bay Lake or a theme park view?
Do you remember? No, it was theme park view. Yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay.
We could probably go back and find the photos. I remember looking at them before. I haven't gone through the albums in a while, but that's probably my earliest memory is that trip with the contemporary. And obviously we went to both Epcot and Magic Kingdom. I don't have anything specific though that stands out as far as what we did in the parks, you know, then. I'm sure we did all the usual stuff, but I don't have any specific park memories tied to that time period. For whatever reason, I remember the contemporary specifically, just because I guess it was different than staying at the Poly. Because, like, over the course of my life, gosh, the Poly's probably been 10 times. I mean,
yeah,
as far as the trips go, might even be more than that. Mom loved going, obviously, and that was her favorite place, and that's what they always booked. And, you know, back in the 80s, I mean, it was still sub $100 most of the time. Especially the early part of it, if you can believe that, Polynesian sub $100 a night.
Right.
That was what you got back then.
Mm-hmm. If you go back to our Mother's Day episode last year, to whatever, I'd have to look up what episode number it was, but we had interviewed each of our moms independently.
That's right.
And we had, I think your mom said back in 72 or whatever it was when they went, the contemporary was like $39 or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty cheap when they first opened.
Yeah. So I remember even in 2001, it was $185 a night, or was it $285? It was $185.
I remember the discounted rate at the beginning, at like the turn of the century, was like $199 that I remember seeing. Yeah,
okay.
But
so it was in that like $200 a night ballpark.
Yeah, that was the discounted rate. So it was just slightly above that. It was probably about $250 normal standard, right, if I had to guess. Maybe a little less than that. Maybe $230 standard at that point in time. That's for a standard room too. I mean, I don't know what the other ones were. I don't remember. But
and now it's like $550 for a heavily discounted rate.
Yeah.
On a half open resort.
Yeah, but you know, as far as what turned me on to it, it's kind of hard to explain. I mean, when you start going, I mean, I guess I had the good fortune of my mother, particularly my parents, taking me as a kid. So I mean, it was always fun, and we were excited to go whenever we went. You know, it was usually you know, during the times I remember, obviously, you know, when you have a larger family, well, I say larger, it gets bigger. You know, you have two kids in our case, and you had three in your family. Sometimes the trips get spread out a little more. It wasn't every year. It was more like every 2 years or 3 years in some of those cases. So
right.
Like that 85 trip, I don't remember going again until 87, which was the time you were talking about, and then 89 was the next one, and then the next one was 92, and that was when we stayed at Caribbean Beach back in the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of course, couldn't even do that because we had to do a split stay. We had to stay two nights at Caribbean Beach and two nights at the Poly. Had to involve the Poly.
Because I remember going
from
the Poly and being like, ah, we're finally home. This is great.
Oh, yeah? So you do remember doing that. Okay.
Yes, I remember like, oh, we're finally here at the Poly.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, and the studios, right? You know, we went when it first opened in 1989. I actually remember that quite well. I remember looking at the stunt show whenever it was not technically open yet. Yeah, I remember watching them rehearsals. Do the rehearsals through the gate, through the fence, kind of like over to the side. There was, what, like five things open at the studios? It was not much. Superstar Television, which we mentioned earlier. You had the Monster Sound Show. You had the Magic of Disney Animation. The Great Movie Ride was the big ticket. And then, of course, the Backlot Tour. That's the five things.
As far as rides go, it was really just two rides.
I guess, yeah. I mean, they were all considered to be attractions. So, yeah, if you're talking about had to sit down and ride in something, you would only have the Great Movie Ride and the Backlot Tour, I guess, as far as stuff that moved. Well, it was intended to be a studio when it first opened. That was the idea. And, of course, Catastrophe Canyon being one of the featured things. But that Backlot Tour, you know, it was a combination tram tour and walking tour, and it was like 2 hours of torture or something, it seemed like. I mean, it was interesting, don't get me wrong, but for a kid, it was long.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep on the backlot tour.
Yeah, at your age, I mean, I imagine so. Yeah. But, I mean, I just remember it being really long.
That reminds me of something. I don't think I mentioned this last episode when we talked about the VIB tour guide, but we were in line for Slinky, probably the second time. I think it was the second time. I was chatting with him, and he was telling me about the Hidden Mickey, which I think we all know the Hidden Mickey on the back wall of the loading area of Slinky Dog in the clouds. But he was like, do you know why it's there? And I was like, I'm going to guess because this is where the Earful Tower used to be. And he's like, that's exactly right. The Earful Tower sat where the loading area of Slinky Dog Dash currently sits. And yeah. I didn't even think about it, but on the map that Andy drew, you know, there's a water tower as well underneath the cloud where the Hidden Mickey is. So I was like, I was like, there's a tower. I didn't even notice the water tower, but it's a little nod to the Earful Tower.
Yep. So that also means if it's sitting there, then not too far from there, I guess, where the launch would be is where you would turn into the that sound stage or whatever, where you had the props and everything. That's about where the launch is.
Yep. That's exactly what he said too. He said, this was the, where we're standing is like where the, where you would go through that building with all the props and stuff. The,
Because I mean, just remembering the old route anyway, that's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
It got shortened over the years, obviously by Lights Motors Action. That shortened it a pretty good bit in itself. Yeah. It was practically not even a tour at that point.
Yeah.
You can still get a tour.
You can still get a different kind of a tour.
Yeah.
The kind that's not included in the price of a regular admission.
Yeah.
What really got me, though, to probably want to go more often as an adult was actually just going as an adult, even though I went with my family. I mean, that was some of the funnest trips, was going with my family when I was able to pay my own way and pay stuff like that. Those were some of the funnest trips that because we did a little bit of everything, you know, at that point in time. So to me, those were some of the funnest trips. So from the, let's just say the time period of 1999 through 2002, went every year, right? And then skipped a couple of years and went back in 2005. And then skipped a couple more years and went back in like 07 or 08 and pretty much have done something Disney related every year since then.
Yeah.
But the only time I didn't do something in Walt Disney World was actually in 2012. I went to Disneyland and did the Eastern Caribbean cruise in 2012. That's the only year out of that time period in which I didn't go to specifically to Walt Disney World, except for the year that Livia was born. That's other than that, we've gone to Walt Disney World every other year, outside of that. And the thing to me is people would think like, oh, you're going again. But the way I would explain it best is, yeah, there's stuff you do there that's you've done before and stuff that you enjoy doing. But I can honestly say that no one trip is ever the same, no matter what. Yeah. I mean, it's always different, especially if you choose to stay at a different place. It's always different. And I think that's one of the things that also keeps people coming back is, you see some of the same things that you repeat, but the experience in itself is pretty much different every time I've gone.
There's always something new to do.
Or there's always something you haven't done that was already is already there.
A new restaurant, new attractions, new things to see and do, or something that's been refurbished and reopened or changed a little bit. There's always something to see that's new, or a new festival. Or I mean, I've gone just for that, you know.
And, you know, I remember when we went in the 2000, you know, they were doing the whole Millennium. That was the first year they had Reflections of Earth. That was the first time, let's see, I think we did the whole drive at night thing. And that morning, what did we, I want to say that first day, actually, what we did was we went to Disney Quest for the first part of the day. And I think maybe Magic Kingdom in the evening. That was the only time. Well, no, I went to Disney Quest the next year as well, whenever I went with you guys.
I remember
doing that. I think that was, unfortunately, the last time as well was 2001. I don't think we did it again after that. But it was always included in the ticket that we bought, usually. You know, the type ticket that we bought.
Yeah, that's a testament to Disney Quest, why it didn't really work.
Well, I mean, it was, over time. You had to get... you had to pay more for the option that included it. I can't remember how the ticket tiers went back then. Now it's been so long. Right. But, you know, I always kind of enjoyed Disney Quest to a degree. I mean, there was not a ton of attractions that were really worth it. The one that stands out the most for still to me was that Battle for Buccaneer Gold was always the funnest one to me, the Pirates one, if you remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun. Well, we could talk all day about
this, yeah, if we did that. We could make an episode probably out of that.
I think we did do one on Disney Quest, by the way, back in the day.
Yeah. But
I was going to say, what keeps us going back now, today?
I just can't get enough of it, I guess. There's a lot about Disney that keeps me coming back. I mean, down to the engineering, the operational efficiency, the fact that there's always something new to do, the fact that we know how to do it so well, the attention to detail. It's fun for the whole family.
The attention to detail has always been one of my favorite aspects because it hints, say, for instance, I still claim Tower of Terror as my favorite Hollywood Studios attraction. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is the attention to detail. It's an experience. It's not just the drop tower, you know?
Right, yeah. Because it could have just done like a Primeval World and done a off-the-shelf drop tower, but of course they didn't.
Right, so. Yeah. I mean, that's an example of an attention to detail is how that storyline even goes. I mean, I just love that they have a storyline, you know? Even when they didn't went with a high-speed coaster, it's not a coaster. You're in a limo heading to a rock concert, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. You're traveling through space if you're on Space Mountain. You're on a runaway mine train if you're on Big Thunder Mountain. I mean, none of it's
cookie cutter.
Right, right. I mean, if you were to break it all down and looked at the track, there's probably something out there similar. But the surroundings and everything that they include in this is just different than anyone else does, even when it comes to something like that.
I would say what got me interested in it as a kid was going at a young age, obviously, and then going as a young adult where I could kind of do whatever I wanted and break away and do my own thing was kind of fun too. But once I had my own kids and you bring them and you sort of relive things through their eyes, that's
right.
That's what keeps me going back for sure, is being able to experience things that I experienced as a kid with my kids. It's really cool to see them light up and then really enjoy something. And, you know, in my son's case, you know, I was the kid that was not very bold at riding things, but to see him sort of come out of his shell a little bit and ride things that are, you know, a little more intense now that he's 7, you know, it's kind of cool to see him progress in that way as well. So it's just cool. There's all kinds of things I could talk about, and my youngest too he's more of the thrill seeker, so he loves all the different attractions, but he also, Small World is his favorite. And as soon as we got home last trip, first thing he said was, "Hey, we forgot to do It's a Small World. We have to go back." So it's just kind of funny to see that they are attached to it as well. So,
right. Yeah. Having them experience things that in some cases you experience, in some cases those things aren't there anymore.
Right. But in some cases they're there, but slightly different or whatever. But
yeah, I haven't quite gotten Maddie into the coasters yet.
Yeah.
I think she's starting to get warm up to it a little bit.
Yeah. Takes time, I think, because it took Aiden quite a bit of time to get used to it.
Well, I mean, I got to thinking about it. There's no way I was riding any kind of a coaster at 5 or 6 years old, me personally. I mean, I think it was I was probably like on up to 10 before I did. So,
right. Yeah, I have to remind myself too. I don't think I rode Space Mountain until I was probably 10 or 12.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps this show up. I think we covered that rather well.
Well, we haven't gotten to 300 bathrooms yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mentioned 3, I think. We've got 297 to go.
Okay, let's see. There, we know we're definitely familiar with some, just about every bathroom at the Poly. I don't see how I couldn't be. I don't think I've missed one at the Poly.
Well, I mean, if there's not 300 bathrooms, we're going to have to go stall by stall and talk about our favorite stalls.
Well, every hotel room has a bathroom. We could just go with that. You know? Yeah. The bathroom at...
Well, since they look similar.
At room 636 at Coronado's Grandestino. It's a great bathroom. Wow. Actually, though, my favorite bathroom on property for the longest time, I can't go to anymore. And that was the men's room at the baby care center at Epcot. I don't really have a baby anymore to take into the baby care center, so it'd be a little weird for me to just go in there by myself to use the men's room. But that, when we did have a young, like, babies...
Be like, excuse me, can I borrow your baby for a minute?
No. But what I was going to say is that men's room is probably the least used men's room on property because it's very few men in there, typically.
Oh, so that's what you like about it.
Yeah, it's clean. That's what I was going to say. It's the cleanest bathroom I've seen. So I would always take my older son in there and we would use that bathroom.
Nice.
It's great. But anyway. That's 296 to go. So
yeah, I'm going to say we spent entirely too much time in this episode talking on bathrooms. It might feel like we've done 300 because that does come up quite a good bit.
Maybe we talk for 300 seconds about bathrooms.
I think there's actually is like YouTube videos and stuff out there about bathrooms. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Well, we could do a whole episode on bathrooms because I have my favorites. And I know you said you have yours. There's definitely ones that are better.
I've had some that I've probably frequented, but I guess it's just because it just happened to be that's where I always tend to need to go to the bathroom, I guess, in the same points, almost.
So. You can always tell the older ones. You know what one that I went to that I was shocked by? Sorry. You know the area between the UK Pavilion and Canada Pavilion at Epcot, the...
International Gateway?
Between Canada and UK.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the other side.
Festival, that event center. What do you call it? What's it normally called? It's like a giant tent or whatever.
Yeah.
It's between the UK and Canada?
Yeah. It's right before you get to Canada and right past UK.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's like long... Anyway.
I guess I didn't even know there's a bathroom there.
Yeah, I didn't either. We were there, and they had a couple of food booths in there for the Festival of the Arts. And I was like, oh, there is a bathroom. So I went in there, and that is a gigantic bathroom. I was like, this is way bigger than I was expecting. Yeah, so huge bathroom if you're looking for space.
So is there a use every bathroom in one day challenge?
At the parks, yeah, you probably could, yeah. Wow. Well, would you have to do every stall or just every bathroom?
Sounds like something you're interested in. It sounds like your passion is the bathrooms.
You have to have a lot of water.
I mean, we were wrapping up this episode, and I think we've got an extra 3 minutes on the bathrooms.
I'm going to say, if this is a challenge, how do you prove this? How do you take the photo? Just curious. Oh,
well, you don't do a photo. Yeah, that would not be good. Yeah, this is not a good idea. Never mind.
You know, pulling out a camera in the bathroom, you're likely to get beat up at some point.
Well, you'd be banned, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once somebody saw you.
Yeah. Have the custodial worker in the background.
Yikes.
Anyway.
All right. I think I'm done now.
You're done. Good. Okay.
Well, I'm going to save my comment about bathrooms until after we do the post show. Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Okay.
Listen for the post roll.
All right. So... I think we're wrapping this episode up. It's been a good 300. We didn't go as long as usual by a little bit, but that's a good thing probably.
Yes.
If you would like to find us on social media, you can do so by going to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, we have a Spreadshirt store with our exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com. And as I alluded to, I think, if I remember what I said earlier in the show about the YouTube channel, about how we have some videos out there, we do have a YouTube channel with some of that classic footage of some of the things we were talking about, mostly what I have out there. I have a video that I'm kind of surprised that has gotten a good bit of attention and people talking about it was the Journey into Imagination video that I did from 94. A lot of people said it was a good quality and stuff like that. I guess these are particularly Imagination fans. But when I got to looking at it, I'm like, you know, it's decent quality, especially considering the time frame.
Right.
You know, you can go there and check out stuff like that. All right. So, Adam, where can they find us elsewhere?
On our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. We have an email address, which is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And don't forget our giveaway, travelingwiththemouse.com/giveaway. And you can enter to win our giveaway. So,
how many times are you going to say giveaway?
Well, we've heard at least about 13 bathrooms, so it's done now.
They'll remember bathrooms. Maybe I should have made it travelingwiththemouse.com/bathrooms.
All right. So, for Adam, Jason, this is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Bathrooms.
What was your bathroom comment?
No, I was actually saying the bathrooms that I really, like, always enjoyed, like, going to different ones in just to, like, check them out was actually on the cruise ship. Adam, you would enjoy the bathrooms on the cruise ship. I'm just saying.
You know where I think we should talk about bathrooms going forward is the bathrooms that aren't actually bathrooms. Like, I like going to the little room in the Liberty Square riverboat to use the bathroom.
Okay.